This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We're joined now from the news desk by Lynn Mark for our market wrap. And the first story is Facebook, because Facebook just keeps making headlines. So ahead of votes in India, Nigeria, Ukraine and the EU, Facebook has said it's going to be extending some of its political advertising rules to these countries. What can you tell us about this?
I mean, Facebook is arguably the biggest social media platform nowadays in most countries, and it has been used as a tool to spread disinformation before. The allegations that Russian troll farms meddled in Brexit and US elections come to mind. As a result, there's been a lot of pressure on Facebook to tighten its rules on political advertising, which is something they have started doing. So, starting today in Nigeria, only advertisers within the country can run electoral ads. This is ahead of Nigeria's general elections on February 16th. This is the same system that was run during the Irish referendum last May, and it is also the same system that will be used in ahead of Ukraine's polls in March. India also is voting for its parliament this spring. In India, Facebook is going to be storing all electoral ads in an online library starting next month. So they are saying that they want to store these ads going back a period of 7 years in order to promote transparency. And the library is going to contain information on ad buyers as well as any official regulatory certificates. This is the same system that was deployed in the US, Brazil and the UK last year and may be used in the EU soon for its parliamentary polls.
It seems like a lot of work to calibrate their systems to each country individually. You mean they don't have a universal set of tools to address this kind of election meddling?
Not yet. So Facebook has said that the policies they develop depend on the region. They also reflect local laws and conversations with individual government as well as civil society groups. And it is extra effort. I mean, in the US and India, for example, Facebook has to make sure that the individuals buying the ads, that their listed names tally with their government-issued documents, and country archives, depending on the country, may also include hot-button issues. So they're not just any electoral propaganda, but they may be issues like, for example, in the US, climate change or immigration policy.
Or gun laws.
Yeah, exactly. So things that will influence voting patterns, but not necessarily related directly to the ballot box. Ultimately, though, Facebook has said that they are working to find a global solution, and they're hoping to have a set of tools for advertisers by end June.
I'm curious, actually, about whether or not this would do anything to assist Facebook's relevance. I mean, we're seeing articles come out as well, kind of discussing the eventual fate of Facebook in emerging younger countries, mm-hmm. Such as the ones that, you know, are our neighbors, such as the ones here in Southeast Asia. And I wonder how long they will kind of get through this, whether they really are going to make these significant structural changes. I have no doubt that they have to, simply because they've come under so much scrutiny. But whether that will actually go anywhere towards keeping them super relevant, or whether this is just part of the phasing out of Facebook.
I don't know. I think implementing these sort of changes may help build trust in the information that Facebook disseminates as well. So through that, perhaps they will become a more trusted purveyor of information ahead of elections.
I mean, perhaps so. But the argument here seems to be that Facebook is fundamentally too boring to survive. At least that's what...
Okay.
It's not a personal opinion, although I've moved away from it. But we are seeing, you know, observations made by people interested in the space saying, well, Facebook is just, you know, it's associated with an older crowd. It's not necessarily capturing sort of a younger audience the way that it used to. And I just think, I mean, this is great. I wonder whether it's too little too late. And if you're already losing an audience, then... Well, anyway, better something than nothing. I don't mean to be such a pessimist.
I think they still have to do something, though, because that voting block, the older voting block, they still happen to be on Facebook.
Yeah, and they'll stay for quite some time.
And whatever information they get on Facebook, they'll eventually put on WhatsApp, where maybe that's where the new frontier is, WhatsApp, Line, WeChat, whatever. Whatever information, fake news that comes on Facebook, they'll put it on WhatsApp, all that. They'll send it to everyone else, including whatever groups they're in.
No, you're right. You still need to take care of the people who are on Facebook. I just think in terms of future relevance here, not exactly inspiring. So heading back to Bursa, there was some news about Hibiscus Petroleum today. How is that affecting their stock price?
So Hibiscus disclosed some of its estimates about its 2P reserves and 2C resources available in one of their oil fields located in North Sabah. It's had a pretty positive effect on its stock price. They were up 1% at 97 sen at close.
Lynn, thank you so much for coming in. Right now we've got some music here. Our Rival Sons with Pressure and Time. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.